I'm going to open, first of all, I want to let everybody know that the whole reason I'm here today is to glorify God.
Amen.
And I do want to make a disclaimer and just say, you know, I just love women who are broken and who are hurting. And I just, and we're all broken and hurting, so I love you all. I just want everyone in this room to know, I know I'm talking about an extremely sensitive subject, and I'm very aware that there's a lot of variety of women here, and we've all probably do something different. So for those of you that have lost a child through miscarriage or stillbirth, my heart aches for you, and I have prayed that I would not say anything that would be offensive or hurtful to anybody today, okay? So I'm going to open in a word of prayer, and I just pray. Father God, thank you so much for this weekend. Thank you for speaking to us so loudly, Lord, that we cannot deny the messages you're sending. I pray for every woman in this room right now, God. I pray for those who are broken or hurting, are dealing with tragedies and trials, Lord God. I pray that you comfort their heart. I pray that you pour out your peace that surpasses all understanding on them. Father, I pray that you just give everybody in your godly wisdom and discernment that we might sense someone who is hurting and we can go and approach them and just give them a hug. Just embrace them, Lord, and just be there for them. Give us ears to hear from them, those that are speaking and need to get things off their chest. Give us eyes to see, God. We want to see clearly. We want to, we want to just see. We need to observe what's going on around us and be active as Christian women and light in this dark world, God. So I praise you in advance for all the things you're going to do and the answered prayer, Lord. And I just love you. We love you. And we praise your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I'm going to give first my little testimony, which a lot of you have heard already. Give it a little different. So my salvation testimony really is a true love story. Okay, it was a long time coming. I didn't meet and fall in love with Jesus until February 22nd, 2005. So I'm almost 10 years old in the Lord. But it began long before. It began the day I was born, actually, because God was always pursuing me my whole life. But I couldn't see him. I couldn't, you know, I was blind. What happened was, I wasn't raised in a Christian home, but I grew up and I got pregnant. And so my high school boyfriend, I actually got married before I graduated from high school. And so by the time I was 23, I already had 4 babies. Well, my marriage was falling apart, and I became pregnant with a 5th baby, and I opted for abortion. But I'm not going to make any excuse. Okay, so what I'm saying is facts. So please don't misunderstand. I'm not giving any excuse for my bad decision, my horrible decision. I told myself it was legal. The government approved it, so it must be okay. I felt overwhelmed with 4 children under the age of 6. Knowing I was going to go get a full-time job and didn't think that I could, you know, bring another child into the world. But I didn't know God. I didn't know God. I knew of him, but I didn't know him. So, but intuitively, when I got up on that table, I knew that I was violating God, that I was breaking his heart. Okay, so, sometime later, I don't know exactly when, because a lot of women who go through abortion do suffer from a variety of different things, depression, alcoholism, cutting, drugs, anything to numb the pain. Okay, we try to bury it and forget about it, but it's there, bigger than life. Okay, so I became involved in drugs, and I began using cocaine at first. And then later I switched to crystal meth. And, you know, nobody plans on becoming a drug addict. It just happens. Or nobody plans on becoming an alcoholic. really just sneaks up on you, that's how Satan is, like, stealth, you know? And so, before I knew it, I was 18 years into being having a drug addiction. And by this time, I was 53 years old, and I honestly, I couldn't even look in a mirror, because I knew what I was going to see. And it was so ugly. It was not pretty. It was ugly, and I was suffering from self-loathing and all kinds of different emotions. And so what happened was, the Lord was still, he was really bestowing me by this time, because he sent some people into my life and some situations that occurred, and I really started noticing, something going on, and I began reading the Word, actually. And then one day in November of 2004, I sat down and I told God, I said, I prayed like I never prayed before, like from my gut. And I was just like crying out to God, and I was saying, please take this addiction from me, because I can't take it from myself. I forgot to tell you, before this happened, I had a second abortion. They're 10 years apart, so. But after the first one, my heart was hardened. And then 10 years later, my kids were teenagers, and I didn't want to start over, and they were in trouble, and I was not married, and, these are some of the reasons. And so, but anyway, I prayed to God that day, and I'm like, Lord, please deliver me from this addiction, because I can't go on. I'm going to die. I'm going to die an old, haggard drug addict. And that is not what I want. And so, then after my prayer, I just went about my business. I continued getting high. And then 4 months later, on a Monday, February 22nd, 2005, I was at work, and I was sitting at my desk, and I had a stroke. And it was weird, because I knew, I thought I blacked out, but I came to, and I didn't know where I was or what I was doing. At any rate, I did, in fact, have a stroke. I was taken to the hospital. I spent 6 days there, from Monday till Saturday. I got out on Saturday, and I was at the altar the next morning, giving my life to Jesus 100%. And I never used drugs again, and I never wanted to use drugs. It was a divine intervention, and he answered my prayer. He completely answered my prayer. So I began going to church. I didn't raise my kids. I didn't teach my kids about God. I'm sorry for that. But they started coming with me. That day I was there at the altar, I believe that all four of them were there with me. And so at any rate, I just want to say a couple bullet points at this point. That's right. I was living with my boyfriend, okay? I've been living with my boyfriend for 15 years. And now I'm like coming home from church, I've received Christ, I'm like, Shazam, I love Jesus more than I love this man. So I need to tell him that we're not together anymore like that. So, but I knew he wasn't going to be real excited about it, so I just said, please be advised that I need to get out of the bedroom. I work for a law firm, so I wrote a lot of letters. Anyways, I moved out of the bedroom, and I took my clothes out of the closet, I took my clothes out of the drawers, and I put them in, we had, another closet, and I put them in there, and he just thought that I'm just going to poop. So he's like, that's fine, whatever works. And so I slept on the couch for 4 years, because there was no way that I was ever going to break Jesus' heart again. I'd already broken it time and time and time again. And so, he thought I had kind of a little cuckoo, and then he was inviting me, please come back. I just want to snuggle. And I'm like, no, it ain't going to happen. And so, financial things, he couldn't afford to move out and get an apartment. I had owned this house that he had moved into, And I felt compassion on him or whatever, And I'm like, and we talked about getting married, but he wasn't a Christian, so the Bible told me not to be unequally yoked. And so that's what I did. Well, 2 years after 2 years of sleeping on the couch, he began coming to church with me, and he did receive Christ. And then at the end of 4 years, in 2009, we were married by Pastor Brian. So we've been married. I just want to say, I believe that I'm here for God's purposes, and that It's not my words that are, I'm going to speak there from him, and I just believe that God wants me to just say, ladies, if you're having a bad marriage, you need to fight for your marriage. You really need to fight for your marriage, because that's what God says. He loves marriage, and it causes havoc and devastation on your children. I don't care if they're teenagers or grown up or babies. My kids suffer a great deal, so much. You know, one thing I want to say about abortion is that we heard a couple ladies mention fear and not trusting God today, and that's what it is, because in hindsight, I know if I had those two babies, God was going to make a way. He was going to provide for them and me, and it was because I didn't know God, but I didn't. I knew he existed. I knew a little bit about him, but I didn't trust him, and so that happened. But God is sovereign, and God is so good, and God is so full of forgiveness. There is no sin God does not forgive. And so another point I want to make is that, you know, I thought about this the other day. God, I mean, we trust God with our salvation. We know we're saved, right? So why don't we trust him for his forgiveness? Why do we beat ourselves up? Why do we do that self-condemnation thing? Why do we move forward and think, oh, God forgives me, and then no, we let the enemy come in and tell us this and tell us that, and then we slide right back to where we were, you know? So at any rate, point two is talking about Beauty for Ashes. It's a abortion recovery class at Calvary Chapel in El Dorado, and it's just the best thing that ever happened to me outside of being saved and having kids. because it brought healing. I mean, I was saved, but I was still suffering from that hole in my heart, and I just knew that God wanted me to be whole. I just think about John 10:10, where it says, God, Jesus came to give us abundant life. And to me, that's the cherry on top, okay? So he does not want us to stay in that dark place. He does not want us to beat ourselves up. He wants to set us free. He wants to pour out his forgiveness. I mean, he hung on the cross. So when we're feeling depressed or oppressed or all those things that we feel as women, we need to get a visual of Jesus hanging there. And he poured out his life for every one of us here. And we need to receive that love and that forgiveness 100%. And not waste it, you know. One of the things God did for me at the point of my salvation, it was just amazing. Because, first of all, I was probably off work at 3 months with a stroke. But he totally, and I was like dizzy, like someone stirred my brain. But he totally restored me. And then I think God's a mathematician, because he takes away what we're not supposed to have. And then he gives us what we're supposed to have. And then he multiplies. And yeah. So he multiplies. And he multiplied my strength, my energy, my desire for him, my finances. He multiplied everything and just gave me such a wonderful gift. And I can never grateful enough, you know. So anyway, about Beauty for Ashes, we had a little seminar at our church on a Saturday. I love the way Lisa is just so open to things that are hidden, that people don't want to talk about. Anyway, so it was on abortion, and I came, and I still couldn't even say the word. And, you know, we don't talk about abortion. It's not anything we're proud of, or it's very difficult for us to share if we've had an abortion. We don't want to tell people because we're afraid of being rejected by them or being judged by them or condemned by them or whatever. It's a secret that we carry around. And so when I came to this seminar, and boy, my eyes were really open that there is hope, there's healing. And there was a woman that spoke there, and she taught this class, Beauty for Ashes. So I signed up and I went to the class, and it was 12 weeks. And I know that we're all different. We grieve in different ways and we heal in different ways. But for me, it was powerful. That's the best word I can think. It's powerful because I was all in. I was like, okay, I'm going to do this, you know, and I'm going to give it 100%, and I know that God's with me, and I know he's trying to, I know God wants to heal me, because I know God wants to use me, and I know God can use anybody, but he wants to use me. He's got a plan for me, and I can just sense it. So I go, and I'm all in, and one of the things that I learned, first of all, if you've never done a study on the names of God or the character and attributes of God, I highly recommend it, because that's what we did. We studied God, how God is sovereign, and God is grace and mercy and love and forgiveness and all the things that God is. And we just stayed in the scriptures. It's like pouring God's word over us and just drenching ourselves in God's word. And that prepared the heart. You know, that started the softening, and that started the healing and the closing up of the hole, you know. And then we went on and we learned about anger. We're identifying our anger. We're a lot of angry women, you know. And there's nothing worse than an angry woman and a bitter woman, you know. And so we talked about depression and just, you know, we covered all the steps. And we were allowed to grieve. We were with women who shared the same tragedy, and we all loved each other, and we all poured out on each other, and we were allowed to grieve, a healthy grieving process, but we had never done. I had my first abortion at 25, and I was 30 years. I carried that. And so God set me free. Honestly, he just set me free. I mean, I realized that God, I had a true understanding of God's pure forgiveness. He wants to give us forgiveness. All we have to do is ask. All we have to do is repent of our sin and lay it down at the cross. And he just forgives us freely. And so I came out of there totally a changed person and a whole person. And so I just felt God's call that I needed to bring that class to our church. And I asked Lisa, and she said yes. And so I don't even know how long we've been doing it. I think this is going to be our fifth year. So, or it doesn't matter. What I want to do is, the table, of course, at the back is about two ministries. One's for Beauty for Ashes. We go through the book. Forgive and set free. I want you ladies, if you're suffering from abortion, I want you to be set free. So I'm not telling you to come to Calvary Chapel Long Rock for the class. You can take it other places. They have it at Calvary Chapel Whittier, Calvary Chapel Sandy Springs. They have it at the Whittier Pregnancy Center. They have it at Calvary Chapel Downey. And then outside of that, I don't know, you could go online and look for a class and find one. You can go to Abortion Recovery International. They have a directory. You put in your zip code, and you say 10 miles or 20 miles in the radius, and then it'll flash up all the places that you can go. I just want to encourage women here that if you have that heart, if you have that heart for someone who suffered abortion, pray about starting a class. I mean, you could start a class in your own home, you know? And so that's one of the points I wanted to make. What God taught me was that, what he showed me was that I need to walk in his forgiveness. And that's what I'm doing now. So, how much time do I have? Like, I'm really good. I wanted to read you a couple statistics. Okay, abortion statistics. More than a billion, I read this morning, 1.2 million. Abortions are performed every year in the U.S. Approximately 200,000 women annually experience complications after an abortion. Abortion increases the chance of having a tubal pregnancy. Abortion increases the chance of having breast cancer. Abortion adversely affects later pregnancies and can cause preterm babies, low birth weight, placenta previa. Fetal distress and major malformations can occur in women with a history of two or more induced abortions. Two-thirds of women having abortions say they're Christian. Less than 1% of abortions are the result of rape. Less than 0.5% of abortions are the result of incest. 86% of abortions are done within the first 12 weeks. Okay, I want to elaborate on that. that's a heartbreaker, because I know that God changes things. I mean, if these women, see, they think that if they do it early, it's not as bad. They don't know. They don't understand. It's a life at the moment of conception. But they're told by Planned Parenthood and other abortion places that, well, it's not a baby yet, you know, it's just a massive tissue or cells. And so they feel pressured, and many times they're pressured by their family or their boyfriends or whoever, you know, get this done, get it over with. And they don't even allow themselves, you spend more time shopping for a dress.
You know.
You do. And so you're just like, make that phone call, make that appointment, get it down, get it done. And so, but if they wait till after that 12 weeks, you know, God works on our hearts. And I know that He can change our circumstances or change us. And by the time you're ready to have that baby, you're ready to nurture and love that child, you know. And so even though we're healed from that abortion, that is something that stays with us forever. And, you know, I mean, I will forever be sorry that I did that. And I will forever regret that decision, those decisions. But I have, you know, I have peace because I know my babies are in heaven. And I have peace because I know that I'm forgiven. Okay, so I wanted to talk just briefly about forgiveness. I could, you know, go through hundreds of scriptures, because there are hundreds of scriptures about God's forgiveness, mercy, and grace. But I went to Blue Letter Bible, and I put in forgives, forgiven, forgiving, and there's 103 scriptures in the New King James. So it's like He's pounding that home, you know? He's not saying it 50 times. He's saying it 103 times. So, you know, we need to pay attention to that. He does forgive us. And on the flip side of the coin, we need to forgive, because that is one of the chapters that's the hardest. We don't really, our amount of our healing is directly related to the amount of our forgiveness on other people. You know, we have to forgive the people that hurt us. We have to forgive the people that betrayed us. And that's difficult. We can't do it without the Lord. We cannot. So we just have to pray. Okay, so I want to talk about now what God did. After Duty for Ashes was going on for a while, I was trying to educate myself, get as much information, education, and so God called me to a pro-life ministry. Life at Conception is what we named it, and we go to the Santa Fe Springs Swap Meet. I'm getting ready to go to different venues because I think that's what the Lord wants now. But it is an awesome ministry. I'll tell you more about it in a minute. I remember that I wanted to read you something that the theologian R.C. Sproul Jr. said about abortion in America. You cannot overreact to this problem. This is the most significant, most serious, most dreadful reality, in my judgment, in the history of the world. And then the author of this book says, it is nearly impossible to overstate the depths of this tragedy, the severe loss of life, or the far-reaching impact of abortion in every aspect of society. Sadly, most Americans see abortion as no big deal. So at any rate, we created a Life at Conception. We go to the swap meet, bought the resources and things, and it's really been an awesome opportunity. It's such a blessing to talk to people about the sanctity of human life and to share with them just the love of Jesus. And what's really interesting is, even though I never planned on being an evangelist, you can't talk about life without talking about Jesus. Yeah. So you become an evangelist, you know, and that's an awesome opportunity. Basically, what I want to say to you ladies today is I want to encourage people. I want to make everybody aware that we all have the ability and the opportunity to do something to prevent an abortion. We don't think that we can, but we do. Okay, number one, our God can do anything. Okay, so, but people in the world say, oh, abortion's never gonna end. It's never. Who, what are you thinking? And I'm like, no. You watch. Because God is going to bring you into abortion. He's already moving, and he's already allowing laws to be changed, and abortion facilities to be closed down, and more pregnancy care centers, and more awareness. Our youth, we're in the second generation of Roe v. Wade. The first generation, first 40 years, you know, people became pro-life, and they opened up ministries and things, but now they're really gung-ho, and the youth have been taught, and they're more pro-life than the older people, the older generation. And we all can, number one, I'm going to give you about six things which you can do, and I just pray you guys do this, okay? Number one, we need to learn, okay? Learn. Most people are ignorant about abortion, its impact on women and the family, and its destructive power is harmful and deadly. We must educate ourselves, and that's very easy to do. You can go online. You can type in abortion recovery, different things, and you know how you get on the internet. It just takes you here, here, here. It's like a journey. And there's you go to Amazon.com and buy books. You put in abortion, and they'll all come up what the books are. I have some samples of books back here, just a handful of a sample, but you can do that. So learn, educate yourself, read the testimonies of the women who suffer from abortion. Okay, and then the second thing, a few pointers. A life-affirming Christian believes that all human life is sacred, regardless of the circumstance of the conception or the health condition of the child, and that is true. There's no excuse for aborting a child. It's God's child, okay? Doctors many times will recommend that you get an abortion for one reason or another. Don't listen to them. Only he has the right to end that life. He brings beauty from ashes. So from there, I'm gonna go to Isaiah, because I wanna read you Beauty for Ashes. Isaiah 61, 1 through 3. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the plant of the Lord, that he may be glorified. I love that. I love those scriptures. Second thing you can do is contact your local pro-life pregnancy center. You can volunteer. You can donate funds. Let me back it up. First thing you can do is pray. Pray. Amen. Pray. Pray for God to bring into abortion. Pray for God to save babies. Just pray. Daily. Then learn. Okay, then get healing if you suffer from abortion. Rescue, go to the pregnancy care clinics, go wherever you hear someone is in distress in a crisis pregnancy and offer to help them. Usually a woman in a crisis pregnancy, she feels like the whole world and everything is against her, and she just needs even one person to speak up on her behalf and just come alongside her and say, it's okay, it's gonna be okay. You know, it's gonna work out. Even though it seems like it's not, hang in there, there's help. There's, you know, they can help them get to a pregnancy care center. They can help them look up the resources that are available, like WIC and different things. And there are ministries where they can go get diapers and baby clothes, counseling, parenting. There's just everything. There's people all around us who, if you heard right now that a young girl was pregnant and she was thinking of getting an abortion, what would you do? You know, grab her and say, I love you, and God loves you, and it's going to be okay, and you don't need to make a snap decision. Come with me and bring her to church, or bring her whatever. Read her the Bible. Do whatever. Just say, I'll help you. It's, you know, I will do my part. I will do whatever I can to help you. And that can make all the difference in the world. Okay? Another one is teach. Teach your children at home and your grandchildren about babies and life and God, and out of as young as age as you can. You know, I understand that it's only appropriate at certain ages to talk about sex. However, it's your kids are your kids, but they need to know that sometimes people do things that hurts the baby, and that you know, when they grow up, that they're not supposed to even have sex if they're not married. But if they, if something happens and they end up with a baby, that they need to not be fearful of you or people in the church or people in school or people wherever. Don't be afraid. That's God's baby. And that they need to bring it to full term and give it life. And then give, donate time. Go outside. I know this is going to sound crazy, but it's not. Pray for boldness, too. Go to the pregnancy care center. You don't have to hold a sign. You don't have to act like a maniac. When I go, I stand there on the sidewalk. It's heartbreaking, I'm telling you. I cry every time. I stand there, and I read the word. And you have to get there like 8 o'clock in the morning. That's when the girls arrive. And the cars pull in one after another after another. It tears my heart out. It's exhausting. It's hurtful. But I just pray for those babies. I pray every way I know how, you know. I just ask God, shut off the electricity. Don't let the doctor get a flat tire. Make him get the flu. I give him all kinds of ideas. Save one, save two, you know, save them. Don't be afraid. We're the light. We're the church. It's up to us to take the first step, get the ball rolling. Then others will see, you know. Every one of you in this room has the power, has the ability to save a life. To save a life. How awesome is that? Don't sit and do nothing. Please, I'm begging you. Get involved. Do something, no matter how small. We all have one of these, and we all love to use it. Right? Okay. In closing, am I good? Am I right on schedule? God, did I leave anything out? Lord God, I just want you to speak whatever it is. Bring it back to my remembrance. If there's something I'm forgetting, please, Lord, just speak. Okay, one of the things that you can do, and this is a blast. With your pregnancy care clinic, okay, that's in the Whittier area, but most cities have a pregnancy care center. So you can go online and do pregnancy care center and see where the one is in your city. But in Whittier, we're having a walk on Saturday, March 7th. And they're right there on Whittier Boulevard. I'm going to be bringing some of these to church, and I have them at the table outside. They are a pledge form. And get people to donate. And be bold. Pray for boldness. Okay? Even if you donate $10 or $100, every dollar counts. The Whittier Pregnancy Care Center says that it costs $1,200 for them to see a baby through. To save a baby. I'm sorry, Cassandra, there's a paper back there at the table. It's white, and it says it's two-sided, and it talks, just bring every white paper up here. I think it's 5 ways to something. Got it. You guys heard me pray. And this is what I forgot. I'm so excited. Okay, so at any rate, it's Saturday, February 2nd, and it's only for 2 hours. We only walk 2 miles, and it's fun. Okay, they give prizes. Yeah, girls give testimonies. It's an event that I just love being a part of. I go nuts at those kind of things. Then I'll carry a sign, and I'll jump up and down, and I'll get people honk their horn, and I'll dance around in circles, and I'm like, yeah, then I go home and go to bed. Okay, there's a paper back here in the back called How to Defend Your Pro-Life Views in 5 Minutes or Less. One of the reasons God brought it back to my mind was because I went to the pregnancy care dinner they had this fall, and they had a speaker there, and he was awesome, okay? And so I urge you guys to get a page, because this is so awesome. This is, it's called SLED, S-L-E-D, and that's the argument that you give people who are pro-choice. So it's so simple. It says, S for size. True, embryos are smaller than newborns and adults. But why is that relevant? Do we really want to say that large people are more human than small ones? Men are generally larger than women, but that doesn't mean that they deserve more rights. Size doesn't equal value. SL, level of development. True, embryos and fetuses are less developed than the adults they'll one day become. But again, why is this relevant? 4-year-old girls are less developed than 14-year-old ones. Should older children have more rights than their younger siblings? Some people say that self-awareness makes one human. But if that is true, newborns do not qualify as valuable human beings. Six-week-old infants lack the immediate capacity for performing human mental functions, as do the reversibly comatose, the sleeping, and those with Alzheimer's. E, environment. Where you are has no bearing on who you are. Does your value change when you cross the street or roll over in bed? If not, how can a journey of 8 inches down the birth canal suddenly change the essential nature of the unborn from non-human to human? If the unborn are not already human, merely changing the location can't make them valuable. D, degree of dependency. If viability makes us human, then all those who depend on insulin or kidney medication are not valuable and we may kill them. Conjoined twins who share blood type and bodily systems also have no right to life. In short, it's far more reasonable to argue that although humans differ immensely with respect to talents, accomplishments, and degrees of development, they are nonetheless equal because they share a common human nature. So that's your argument against people who, you know, think it's okay to take a life. And I'm hugely pro-life, and I guess you could say that I used to be pro-choice. You know? And so this is my passion. This is my passion. I have many passions. I have a passion for you women who have aborted. So what I want to say is I have a business card back on the table. Please take one, stick it in your wallet. If you have questions, my email's back there too. Call me. Email me. I would love to help you in any way that I can. Okay? The other thing I wanted to say is that we're starting our next class for Beauty for Ashes on March 5th. We're having them on Thursday night from 7 till 9. And so I'm praying that God will send the women he handpicks. But I also wanted to invite the ladies from the other churches that if you're interested in bringing this ministry to your church, you're welcome to come and sit in on the class for training purposes and just see, you know, what we do there and everything. And then, or if you want me to come speak to the women at your church, I'd be happy to do that as well. Okay, so in closing, I was going to pray for... Okay, I did that. Okay, invite, yeah. Come, call me, and come talk to me, and ask questions, and let me love on you, and come back there. I made scripture rocks for, I hope I have enough, scripture rocks for the ladies, and God blessed me with lots of resources to give you guys, and there's books. There's a pro-life book back there by Randy Alcorn. It's an easy read. It's just a short book, little small book, and it's got packed with information. Read it, it will help you. And so Lord, let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for bringing me here today, Lord God. Thank you for transforming my life. Father, thank you for each lady that's here, God. Thank you for transforming their lives as well, Lord. I pray that you do heal the broken hearts of those who are hurting and suffering. And God, give us wisdom, godly wisdom, discernment, and give us a boldness for more of you, God, to speak. We don't want to be timid for you, Lord. We don't. But help us to have that grounded, you know when to speak and when not to speak. Know when to listen, because we do need to listen to those who are hurting and broken, but we need to know how to speak out for those who are vulnerable and being taken away and slaughtered. So, God, I praise you today for all that you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah.